Chad Campbell here, back again with another Pod Blast. Today I'm going to be talking about star ratings. And I hope this doesn't come across as, you know, me melting over them or putting too much emphasis on them. I just hope I can convey, one, why I personally do use star ratings, and two, in regards to Mr. Meltzer, why I think his consistency and his system for star ratings may now be permanently broken. So having a newborn, it's interesting. I've been going to bed about 9 to 10 on most nights, and last night was no exception. I went to sleep about 9:30. But he is young enough where he doesn't sleep through the night. So he was up about 2 o'clock. He woke up to be fed by his mother. And so when that happens, I usually get up as well, change his diaper. And I couldn't go immediately back to sleep. So I got my phone, got on Twitter, and of course saw that the wrestling world had been taken by storm by 6.25 star rating for Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada from Dominion this past weekend. Now, I don't this whole Pod Blast I'm doing, I don't want to get into the merit of the match itself, whether you think it was a great match, the greatest match, a terrible match, or whatever. I've seen all sides of that spectrum. From most people I respect have been on that spectrum. So this is not a debate on the match itself. It's simply a debate on his star rating system and why I also use star ratings. So I guess the genesis of me using star ratings seriously was in 2011. Before then, when I watched matches, I've always kind of notated in my mind, okay, yeah, that's probably a 5-star match, that's a 4.5 star match, that's a 4-star match, etc., etc. In 2011, I participated in Dave Ditch's 2004 Japan ballot vote at DeathValleyDriver.com. From there, that spun off to where I did the All Japan 1980s. Vote for DeathValleyDriver.com, did the AWA 1980s vote for DeathValleyDriver.com, and then started watching the 90s chronologically through a yearbook series, 1990 through 1999. I still have a couple of years I have not done, namely 1992 and 1995, but overall I've watched a ton of footage from the other years of the 1990s. I watched a lot of the 80s sets that are, again, were compiled for the Death Valley Driver. And then I've also been, you know, in real time ranking matches on various spreadsheets. This has really kind of helped me sort of corner where I rank matches from a historical perspective. And that's one thing that Dave Meltzer should be commended on. He's been doing his Wrestling Observer newsletter since the 1980s. He's been star rating that long. So he is essentially the only consistent choice we have from that time period to current day that has enough data of star ratings in real time. So if you want to use him as an authoritative voice on star ratings, you can use the argument that he has been star rating matches for 30 years. Now, he also does stuff differently. Again, you know, this is 2012, 2013, where I'm ranking matches from 1981 or 1997 or so forth. Dave has of the belief that the match that you're watching now is a presentation for that crowd, for that live viewing, for that moment in time. And to go back and kind of retroactively look at that and rank it is sort of missing the point of what the match was set out to accomplish. This is an area we probably disagree with the most on, because I do like going back and revisiting things to get more of a historical perspective of what in my mind has held up, what's been a consistent trend from that match going forward throughout the wrestling landscape, and where that match landed from a historical perspective. An example of that, I would say, would be Misawa versus Kawada, okay? If you watch the October 1992 Triple Crown match, which is their first Triple Crown match together, I can see how right at that moment in time you could say, this is one of the greatest matches of all time. This is 5 stars. Bam. Okay? So you plop down your 5-star rating. But then you have something like June 3rd, 1994, which I think easily builds on top of that match and surpasses it. And it's kind of, well, where are you at? You know, now you rank this 5 stars as well, but you had the previous match. So which is greater, so to speak? So that's why I do like going back from a historical perspective, where you can watch the series as a whole and you can say, wow, as a standalone, this October 1992 match is still a great, great match that set off this historic rivalry. But they did improve upon that in subsequent matches against each other. So, whereas in real time I may have ranked that match 5 stars, now I'm at 4.5. Not a big difference, but when you're talking about the top of the top matches you've ranked in your life, it is kind of a big difference. So, to get back to where I was with my journey, so 2011 onward, I've ranked star matches, and I feel like it's given me a great kind of perspective of where matches slot in. And the reason I do that, because I just want to say, there's definitely reviewers out there I respect that do not star rank matches. Charles Walker, who is a sports columnist for the Baltimore Sun, also posts at PWO, ProWrestlingOnly.com, as Childs. Excellent reviewer. We align a lot, but he has some very interesting points on some matches that a lot of times I don't really think about. He doesn't star rank matches. Phil Schneider from Death Valley Driver, now Segunda Caeda, he's been reviewing matches now for 25 years nearly himself online, and he has never done star rankings. So that's a couple of examples of guys that don't do star rankings. But I do, just because it's easier for me to slot in. You know, if I can look at a spreadsheet and say, you know, just look at that ranking, in my mind I have a certain tier level, and my tier level generally is 5 stars, one of the best matches I've ever seen. I think I have now around 60 matches in history I've ranked 5 stars or better. So pretty creme de la creme. When you think about, we have 1980 through 2017 fairly well accounted for as far as footage and wrestling now. So you're talking about a 37-year gap. I got 60 matches ranked at 5 stars, so less than 2 per year, just to give you an example. 4.75 stars, match of the year candidate. 4.5 stars, a great, great match, really high end. 4.25 stars, an excellent match. 4 stars, great match. 3.75, right on the brink of being great, usually just has one little thing or a couple of little tendencies that make me hold back and not consider it great. 3.5, very good match. 3.25, good stuff. 3-star, a good match, worth watching. And then you can kind of go down the list where, you know, 2.5's decent, 2 stars mediocre, so forth. I don't do negative star rankings. I stop at dud, which is, again, one of the worst matches I've ever seen, and I probably only have about 60 to 70 matches at that horrendous level as well. I usually utilize a bell curve, which from statistics shows that around 95 to 98% of the matches I watch will fall between the 1/4 star and the 4.75 star curve on a straight line. So there's going to be very few aberrations either at 5 stars or at the dud level. And this has, again, been an easy way for me from a historical perspective to slot things in. But it's an imperfect system. A perfect example is that before mentioned Okada Omega match. I gave it 4 stars. Now you can look at my 2017 spreadsheet, and you can see a match like Ophidian versus Hermit Crab from Shikara that I've also given 4 stars. Those are two completely different matches. One was like a 8-minute, 9-minute slugfest in the middle of a nondescript Shikara show. One was an hour-long draw that went really big. I mean, that's a match that's very grandiose. So it's a match that's set out to accomplish two different things, and it does look kind of goofy for me to look at that and say, well, are these matches, should they really be ranked the same? But then I think back to the flaws that I do have with Omega and Okada, and I can kind of justify that rating in my arbitrary head. And that's really what I'm going for with this whole discussion. You know, my star ratings, I just kind of want to justifiably, in my own mind, kind of have a system where I can say, yeah, this was 4 stars for me, because I think the star ratings are a personal individual thing. So for me, this was 4 stars for these reasons. And as long as I can do that and not be talking out of my ass, I feel confident in, you know, me ranking a match 4 stars. The other thing that you have to go with when you star rank matches is the overall historical perspective, and then to see where they land overall. And I want to be consistent. I want to judge a 1981 match versus 2017 because it's the entire landscape of wrestling. I think you can judge a movie like Casablanca up against Dark Knight Rises or The Dark Knight, whatever, is a modern classic type movie that gets a lot of support. I have no problem comparing one to the other. Now, I want to transition that, you know, kind of my reasoning to why I'm a little, I guess, annoyed is probably the best word, at Meltzer ranking at 6.25 stars. I don't think that's a surprising ranking at all. If you listen to his Wrestling Observer Radio in the wake of the Dominion show, you knew he thought it was better than the Dome match. The Tokyo Dome January 4th match, which he said was one of the greatest matches of all time. I think he had that and the 6-3-94 Misawa Kawada match as the only matches he would rank 6 stars. So the 6 star rating, I kind of understood to a degree to say, you know, these 2-3 matches, etc., are an absolute cut above the rest of the matches I've ever watched. So I fully expected him to give this match 6 stars. The 6.25 stars is a little bit miffling. I don't know if it was I think there's a certain amount of troll job going on. But it's just weird because then you get into the minutiae of, well, does he think this is 1.25 stars better than something like Shibata versus Okada from Sakura Genesis? And it's just kind of a weird system to have, where I wish he'd have just said, you know, this is 6 stars, this is the greatest match I've ever seen. Just have that distinction. Whereas now I feel like he's a little inconsistent overall with his rankings, and the system is sort of broken. Now going forward, will it matter to me down the line? Maybe, maybe not. But Dave is seen as one of the authoritative voices, probably the most authoritative voice in wrestling. So a 6.25 star ranking is something that can be presented up, like when you're building a case for Okada by saying, well, you know, he had this amazing ranking that no one has ever given by the most respected voice in wrestling, Dave Meltzer. So it's something that can be sort of debated and used as leverage, which is kind of unfair to me with the other greats such as Flair, Misawa, Kobashi that Okada is going to be compared with as far as the greats of all time. So that's kind of, I guess, my gist and my little spiel. I didn't, you know, go cry into my Wrestling Observer newsletter archives when I saw the 6.25 star ranking, but I did think it was a little strange. I do think there was some humor mixed into it, obviously. And the Twitter responses I look forward to in the forthcoming days. But I do think, you know, honestly, you know, this is something Dave downplays his kind of influence and authoritative voice throughout wrestling. But it's something that is there. I do think it is something that is there. And the 6.25 star kind of breaks a system that he helped sort of create and massage into what most people utilize today. Thank you, and I'll talk to you again soon.